Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by University Hospital, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, listeners, we love to have you share your ideas of what you'd like to learn with us. Just a few weeks ago, after a HealthLink seminar I was teaching, one of the regular seminar attendees asked me if we could do a show segment about shingles. What a great suggestion that was. So to that end, we've invited Dr. Jennifer Moffitt to join us this morning to tell us what we need to know about this painful problem that too many seniors develop. Good morning, Dr. Moffitt.
Good morning.
Dr. Moffitt is an associate professor of microbiology and immunology at SUNY Upstate. And first, I have to ask, do you have any idea where the name shingles came from?
Well, it actually came from the Latin word cingulum, which means belt. And shingles has often been known as the belt of fire.
Ah.
Because it'll wrap around someone's waist and appear as a belt.
Well, you know what? I'm impressed that you even know the answer to that question. And I know it's related to chickenpox, and that's another question. Do you know where the name chickenpox came from?
I don't.
Okay.
We're still wondering about that.
Okay, nobody's made that translation yet. No. But let's go back to the disease itself. What's the medical name for shingles?
Zoster or herpes zoster.
It's herpes zoster. Herpes is a scary word.
Yes, it is. It actually comes from the Latin word for snake, because the herpes zoster lesions creep across the skin like a crawling snake.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, we've done our Latin and Greek for the morning. I know that chickenpox is very communicable, and I assume that shingles must be somewhat communicable, too. Talk to me what the relationship is between the two.
Well, shingles is a disease that occurs after someone has had chickenpox. And during childhood, we often acquire the disease chickenpox, and the virus remains dormant or latent in the nervous system for life. And at later ages, the virus can reactivate. It travels down a neuron to the skin, and this is the disease we know as zoster.
So let me understand this correctly. It just stays in your body for all of those years?
Yes.
And do we know what triggers it to come back?
Some things can trigger it, such as a reduced immune system function, like having a bone marrow transplant. But mostly we don't know what causes a reactivation, just passage of time.
Is it always a reactivation in somebody who's older, or can somebody younger actually end up with shingles?
Children and young adults can get shingles also. It's often missed. But it is somewhat common in younger people, too.
What do you mean it's missed?
Well, often people think they have poison ivy.
Oh.
Or a bug bite.
Oh.
But it can be shingles.
Now, that relationship, a child has chickenpox and later mm-hmm. can develop shingles. If somebody never had chickenpox, can they get shingles later?
No, they can't. It's the only way to get it is from your own nervous system, reactivation.
So it does not transmit between people?
No. In fact, shingles can't transmit shingles.
Okay. Yeah. But can shingles transmit? If an older person with shingles is with a child who's never had chickenpox, can they give that child chickenpox?
Yes, they can. So an older person with shingles can give chickenpox to a child who's never had the virus. In fact, this is how the virus is maintained in our population.
What do you mean by maintained?
Well, the virus hasn't gone away. It's uh-huh. been with us for many thousands of years.
I see. So it's not being destroyed. It's just sitting latent in somebody's body.
Yes.
All right. Now, what about a child with chickenpox then trigger shingles in an older person?
No, they can't. In fact, the opposite is true. A child with chickenpox can boost the immune system of an older person and help them avoid shingles.
That's just fascinating to me. All right, let's talk about how it's diagnosed, because mm-hmm. I think an older person perhaps gets a rash. Mm-hmm. Would that be what happens? And they go to their doctor. How is it diagnosed?
Well, often just by what it looks like. Its appearance alone is very diagnostic. But there are laboratory tests such as a PCR-based test or an...
And what is PCR?
It's detecting the viral DNA.
I see.
And then there is also an antibody test that can identify the virus in the small pieces of skin scraped off the lesion.
I see. All right. And where does somebody get it, just on their skin that they can see? Actually, the woman who asked me the question had it in her hair.
Yes.
And where, I mean, I would assume that all the places chickenpox can go,
yes,
shingles can go.
Any nerve, any surface of the body can have shingles, but the top half of the body is the most common, from the waist up.
I see.
And a third of the cases are on the head. And then the virus can even infect the eye and destroy the retina.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it can be very dangerous.
Yes, it can.
I see. Is there treatment available?
There are treatments. There's some very good antiviral drugs available that have virtually no side effects, but they must be taken early during the disease. So it's important to go to your doctor if you have an unexplained and painful rash, because the drugs will only work in the first 3 days after the rash appears.
Oh, I see. So you get that rash, you need to get to the doctor immediately.
Yes.
I see. And they give you this vaccine. Does that make it go away, or does that just shorten its stay, or what's the effect?
These drugs will shorten the duration, they'll reduce the pain, avoid the spread of the virus, and hopefully avoid some of the long-term complications of shingles, which can be severe pain, nerve damage, paralysis, or even vision loss.
Wow. Now, when we talk about severe pain, and I've heard that before, my mom had shingles at one point, and I know it was horribly painful. Is it a pain that you just feel like where the lesion is, or is it like all over flu pain, or what kind of pain is it?
Well, at the early stages of the disease, people will feel achy, flu-like symptoms, but the pain can persist in the site of the rash for weeks to months. And it's often a burning pain, tingling, and it's actually coming from inside the nerve, because the nerve itself is damaged by the shingles outbreak.
Is it a permanent damage?
It can be permanent, but most people improve after about 2 to 6 months.
Oh, they do. All right. Mm-hmm. And that was my next question. How long does it last? And I've heard of people who have it for months.
Yes, even years.
Really?
This is why it's so critical to get to the physician early and get a hold of those antiviral drugs and take them on schedule and try to avoid this long-lasting pain.
Tell me what the lesions look like.
Well, they start as a redness, and then blisters appear. They are often patchy, or, you know, close together, and they're on one side of the body. So if you have a rash on one side of the face and not the other, or one side of your shoulder and not the other, that's very distinctive of shingles.
Interesting, very interesting. Now, talk to me about vaccines. I know that there's now a vaccine for chickenpox for children, and that is then related to a vaccine for shingles, is that correct?
That's right. They are actually the same virus preparation, but the adult vaccine for shingles is much stronger.
It is.
Yes.
And when should somebody be getting that vaccine?
Well, it's approved for adults age 60 and older, so I recommend anyone age 60 consider getting the vaccine for shingles.
If they had chickenpox as a child.
And most of us have.
Yes.
About 95% of people. It will reduce the risk of shingles by about half. And then those people who do get shingles, their pain and severity is much less.
I see. So it doesn't really obliterate it, does it?
It can't guarantee that you'll never have it, but it would reduce the severity.
And if a child had the chickenpox vaccine, does that then affect it? I know that some children who get chickenpox vaccine also get chickenpox. Am I correct?
Yes, they
yes.
do.
And do we have any idea whether that will affect whether or not they get shingles later in life?
It hasn't been long enough to answer that question, but we suspect that even children who are vaccinated are exposed to the natural chickenpox in the environment that can silently penetrate their bodies and establish this dormant state in their immune system. Mm. So we think even children who've been vaccinated have a risk for zoster. We don't know what that risk is.
I see. All right. So let's go back and just kind of sum up this information about shingles for our listeners. If you will, listeners who are what, 60 and older?
Yes, 60 and older, consider getting the vaccine. It will help you avoid shingles. If you do think you have shingles, please see your doctor immediately. Bring it up. Say, is this shingles? And then hopefully they'll know and get you the drugs right away.
Very good. And it should just be their family doctor they go to, their primary care physician.
That's right.
Very good. Now, I want to talk a little bit about how these vaccines have been developed, because that's actually what you work in, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Since 1995, I've been involved with research on this virus, and I did some of the work to help approve the childhood vaccine.
You did. Excellent. Let's talk about the childhood vaccine first. Mm-hmm. And we're almost running out of time here, so I want to get this conversation started, but I think our listeners will find some of this research just absolutely fascinating. So speak to me about the chickenpox vaccine.
Well, this vaccine is the one one and only vaccine against a human herpes virus, so it's remarkable for that. And it has greatly reduced the incidence or the number of cases of chickenpox around the United States. Almost by 3/4. So this has been very successful.
Wow.
Yes.
And was that work done right here in Syracuse?
That work was mainly done at Stanford, mm-hmm. and then I brought it here to Syracuse in 1999.
Oh, so you came here from Stanford?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, you see, I love that we attract smart people. I think that's just great. And tell me what the approach was to even develop the vaccine.
Well, the vaccine was obtained from a child and then grown in culture for quite a while until it had lost its virulence. Then this live vaccine is now grown at a plant in Pennsylvania by Merck and bottled and delivered to pediatricians who can vaccinate children around the country.
Excellent. And listeners, we do need to take a break, but we'll be back shortly. Please stay with us. This is University Hospital's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.